Okay, the scripture today is John 14, 1 through 14. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, I would not have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and you have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip? Even after I've been among you for such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me, who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me to do anything in my name, and I will do it. God bless the scripture today.
Friends, let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. I imagine that our scripture reading for today is a familiar one for many of us. It is one of the most popular texts that people ask me to read at a funeral service, and for good reason. In it, Jesus reminds us not to worry about our loved one, because Jesus is going to prepare a place for them in heaven. While we mourn their physical presence among us, we rejoice that they are able to reunite with our Heavenly Father. In case you're wondering, this is why in the Presbyterian tradition, we call funeral services a witness to the resurrection. While we're sad to no longer have our loved one physically with us, we rejoice that because of Jesus, our loved one is in heaven. But this morning, I'm not preparing a funeral meditation. I'm sitting in my mother's office, trying to keep the cat from jumping on me in the middle of this worship service. My mom's office is the place where I'm spending the majority of my time until Pennsylvania's stay-at-home order is lifted. Every week, I'm trying to find something hopeful to say to a people that are mourning a way of life that just isn't possible during a global pandemic. So on this particular morning, I find my attention resting on a different part of the text than it usually does. Thomas's plea to Jesus, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? We don't know. I can't tell you how many times I've either said or emailed or texted, we don't know, in the last week. We don't really know what this yellow phase of a stay-at-home order will mean for Allegheny County. We don't know really what in-person worship is going to look like under safety precautions. We don't know if we can sing together and worship until there's a vaccine. We don't know if we can have our usual summer and fall festivals and picnics. I actually believe that the choruses of "We Don't Know" is a sign that we've entered the messy middle of this pandemic, the place in between the start of the crisis, where we all hunkered down and figured out how to use Zoom, and the end of the crisis, where schools will reopen, where we can hug people during the passing of the peace. This messy middle is a challenging place to live. It is filled with a lot of frustrated "we don't knows." How can we plan for a future if we don't know what that future is going to look like? In our scripture reading, the disciples find themselves in a messy middle of their own. The messy middle between Jesus' resurrection from the dead and his ascension into heaven. They thought that Jesus was dead. They were wrong, because Jesus appeared to them on Easter. How long is Jesus here for? They don't know. He keeps talking about returning to the Father. What will life look like without his physical presence? They don't know. How are they going to share the good news with all the nations? Again, they don't know. But they're getting a sinking feeling in the pit of their stomach that somehow they are going to be the ones who are going to have to figure it out. Into this messy middle, Jesus offers the disciples this advice: "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." In the midst of all of these unknowns, Jesus reminds the disciples that Jesus himself is really all they need. There's no need to panic. There's no need to go looking for some secret map. Jesus and God are the same being. We don't have to go looking for the way, because Jesus is the way. Jesus makes it possible for us to know God because we can relate to Jesus's humanity. The only thing left for Jesus to do is to return to God. When he leaves, he says that he's going to send his Spirit so that Jesus can continue to be with us when he's no longer physically present. So this week, I've been reflecting on how can we share this heart of God, the heart of God that Jesus reveals to us in his teachings in this age of social distancing. I really love the way that residents in several cities are taking a few minutes every day at 7 o'clock to thank their healthcare workers during the hospital shift changes. In the way that grocery stores across the country are allowing seniors to shop during the first hour they're open. In the way that I'm seeing crafters on social media repurpose their leftover fabric to make masks for hospital workers, homeless shelters, and food distribution workers. All of these examples proclaim that God cares for the vulnerable, the helpers, and those who are struggling. One area where we could do a little better in practicing sharing the heart of God is how we share information with others on social media. I've noticed a trend on Facebook over the last couple weeks where people are sharing news articles that are meant to scare others. On Friday, I pooled some examples of some of the stories I'm talking about. I didn't have to look far for these examples. These examples were in the first 10 or 12 people on my news feed. So these are articles like how the horrific 1918 flu spread across America, or nearly all patients hospitalized with COVID-19 had chronic health issues, study finds, or my favorite, Pittsburgh skate park filled with sand by order of Peduto to discourage skating during the coronavirus pandemic. Friends, when we share articles like these on our timelines, we're giving in to fear. Fear that we will never see the other side of this pandemic. Or fear that God has somehow abandoned us during this pandemic. Instead, why don't we share stories that illustrate the power of love to transform communities? Stories like reopen campgrounds see rush of guests while observing social distancing. Or a guide for first-time pet owners during the pandemic. Or even how coronavirus is changing the dating game for the better. I'm not suggesting that we don't acknowledge the challenges of living through this pandemic, but I do think that one way that we can love others right now is by not giving in to fear on the internet. Because, friends, in the face of life's cruelties, love is the only hopeful response. No, love never rescues anyone from death. But it does cover us, nurture us, and consume us in a way that does and always will matter completely. Our task as Christians living in the messy middle of a global pandemic is to figure out how to love fiercely, how to pray boldly, how to honor, how to name, and how to grieve the dead. Of not shying away from the pain and grief, but having patience that hope and love will survive. Our scripture reading for today ends with the disciples realizing that Jesus is ascending to the Father, and that that is their destination too. The disciples cannot allow their hearts to become troubled, or they're going to miss out on the good news of Easter. Because of Jesus, we too can enjoy an intimate relationship with our Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. While the messy middle of our stories is going to get a bit messy, the ending is what makes it all worthwhile. Thanks be to God. In Jesus' name, amen.